You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
The cost of a monthly bus pass and ticket packets will go up 10% on April 1st. This is the latest fare increase put forward by TransLink, the public transit system that services Metro Vancouver. Some see this as the tip of the iceberg for changes taking place at TransLink. The Vancouver Bus Riders Union is a group that has been resisting the fare increases of the past 10 years, and they're also campaigning against transit privatization. This coming Friday, they're staging an action to show their opposition to privatization. Iannis Ormond and Diane LeClaire are both longtime organizers with the Bus Riders Union. They've joined me in the studio. Hi, Diane, and welcome.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
What's driving the fares up, Iannis?
Well, we want to put the fare increase in an overall context of privatization because we really feel like that's what's happening to our transit system. And it's not the, it hasn't all been all direct privatization in the sense of the government just taking a public corporation and selling it off. But what we've seen is a gradual process of privatization that includes shifting more and more of the cost of the operation off of general public tax revenues and on to individual riders, who are mostly not people with a lot of money, as well as the kind of big picture privatization stuff we've seen, like the Canada Line, which was developed as a private-public partnership, systematic changes in the board, and also the transit police. So those are all, we see all those as aspects of the process of privatization within the transit system. But what's felt most acutely by bus riders probably is this steady increase in the fares, and they've gone up by 66% in the last decade, which is way out of whack with inflation in Canada, and constitutes really, like I said, a shift in the burden for paying for the transit system off of general progressive tax revenue sources and on to individuals who are just struggling to survive in the region.
How would you describe the services over the past few years? You've described this privatization process at the end of the line or the riders, and what's happened to the services?
Well, what we haven't seen is a significant and massive increase in service generally. And that was, if you look back at some of the kind of broad public consultation that was done in the late 90s through TransLink when it was first developed, the top priority was supposed to be putting more buses on the road. It's the backbone of the transit system. It's what most people rely on. And we've never seen that investment. So they've prioritized big privatized rail developments like the Canada Line, which is a huge expenditure and burden for the transit system. And we haven't seen significant expansions in the bus system. So there are a lot of new buses, but by and large, those are replacement buses. And if you look at some of the stuff that's been put out by the Canadian auto workers, who have a really good sense of how many buses are actually on the road, there hasn't been a significant increase in capacity. So that's why we're continuing to see massive overcrowding on the core Vancouver areas, where there's a really high ridership, and in places like Surrey and Delta and Langley, like they say, if you see a bus there past 6 o'clock, it must be lost. There's just not adequate service so that people can become transit users and use it consistently.
Diane, you ride the buses from Surrey.
I used to live in Surrey for a year. Riding the buses there was no thrill.
And you do organizing on the buses. What kind of stories are you getting from people about the fares?
Well, some people accept it. Others say they don't know where the money's going to come from. Out of their pockets, of course. The rents are going up. The food costs are going up. And now the transit fare is going up.
What will a fare cost to come from Surrey into Vancouver after April 1st?
I don't do math, but I would say about $10, because 10 years ago when I lived there, it cost me $5 to get into Vancouver for the day. back and forth.
Back and forth.
So it's doubled, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. So the cash, they're not raising the cash fare with this increase. They're only raising the cost of passes and tickets. So a three-zone bus pass, which is what you need if you're traveling from Surrey and back, is going up to $150, $151. So it's a huge expenditure for families that are regularly coming into town for work. What we've seen is that for a lot of transit-dependent families, they're buying three or four or five bus passes every month for kids and people commuting regularly to work. So taken all together, that amounts to a big, substantial increase in people's transportation costs. I mean, the other thing about the way they've gone about these fare increases is they TransLink seems to have this strategy of raising the cash fares one time and then the passes and the tickets next. And I don't think it's out of the goodness of their heart. I think it's because they don't want everybody to be upset at the same time. So it's kind of a process of divide and rule as they raise these fares. And so we're really saying to everyone, we need to get together and have a united opposition against these fare increases. And also, like I said, put it in the broader context of privatization. And Diane had an experience with the transit police the other day, which I think really illustrates also how there's been a shifting of the buses no longer being considered public spaces and a public service, but a place where people feel scared if they can't afford the fare, and even if they can sometimes.
Can you share that experience with us, Diane?
They said, show us your fare. Do you have a pass? And I said, but I already showed the bus driver my fare. And he says, well, we need to check it again. And I said, don't you think this is a lot of surveillance? And they said, we're just doing our job, ma'am. Show us your fare. And I said, well, I'll have to get it out. And he said, well, yes, that's what we want you to do. We need to make sure it's yours. And I said, I'm not taking it out. And then the bus driver said, well, she's already shown her fare. I've seen it. So I didn't have to take it out. Nevertheless, I turned to people on the bus and I said, isn't it odd that if we can't afford to pay our fare, that they're going to give us a ticket for $175? Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense to anyone? At which point some man said, well, the government, everybody wants our money.
We had several community discussions about the fare increase and about this process of privatization. And I mean, especially we had the recent stuff around tasering by the transit police come out in the last month or so. There's a real fear around the transit system and the transit police and how violent they are. And when the fares are going up and people have to get to work or they have to get to pick up their kids and they just can't afford it, it becomes this horrible situation where you're making yourself vulnerable to this violence by the transit police when you need to use what should be considered a public service, right? Like, we know people cannot survive in this region, especially as low-wage workers or people on welfare, without access to transit.
Do you find, Diane, that particular people are hassled more than others in terms of riding, either by the transit cops or by bus drivers?
Well, mostly the people who can't afford to pay the full fare, which are low-income people, people of color. And who are they? Women, single mothers, men out of work, welfare people who can't stretch their money to pay for a bus pass.
TransLink setup seems confusing to many people, and sometimes I'm one of those many people. Who's accountable for these different issues? I mean, when you're struggling to change the situation, who are you directing your energies against?
Well, that's been one of the big challenges, is that it's been kind of like a bouncing ball. So in the 90s, the NDP government created TransLink, which was supposed to be putting transportation policy in the hands of the region. So the TransLink board originally was composed of regional politicians, so mayors and councillors from city councils throughout the region. Unfortunately, they were never directly elected to the board, so there was never that kind of direct accountability, but at least indirectly there was some accountability there. In the follow-up to the what was originally the RAV line and then the Canada line decision, where the province really had to twist arms to push FOIS through that hugely expensive private-public partnership. The TransLink board voted on it three times before the province finally got the decision they wanted. So in the follow-up to that, the provincial government essentially privatized the board. They replaced the mayors and councillors with a group of supposedly expert transit people to run it, and they are people with very strong ties to the Board of Trade and big business and developers, right-wing academics. So they're the ones in charge now. So I guess you could say in terms of, and it's been a challenge for people who are concerned about transit to try to have an impact and a say in the system. The minister now is in Prince George, so we don't have a lot of access to her, but certainly it seems to be the province and the Liberals and their right-wing agenda. That's what's calling the shots in terms of regional transportation now.
So you're planning some actions involvement, and what would you suggest people who would like to join with you do?
Well, there is a rally at 5 p.m. this Friday at the Main Street SkyTrain station. I plan to be there. I hope other people will show up. And it's not just about showing up for a rally. It's about demanding affordable fares. We can't have them keep going up. Transit is a right.
So that's the immediate action, is the day of action that Diane was talking about. And then I think more broadly, I think in terms of people on the left and concerned about social justice in this region, we need to start to get together and talk about privatization and how we're going to oppose privatization generally, because obviously it's not just happening. I think the transit system is a really good example of how it happens, but obviously it's happening in healthcare and education and other areas, and we really need to start to have more unity and more of a strategy around how we're going to fight back against the privatization agenda, because the Liberals keep pushing with it for it, and there's no indication from the NDP that they're going to turn back any of this privatization that's been foisted on us.
Well, it's been great having you in the studio. Thanks for coming in, Diane and Ayanis.
Thanks for having us.
I've been speaking with Vancouver Bus Rider Union organizers Ayanis Ormond and Diane LeClaire. And if you'd like more information about the action this coming Friday, which is going to be starting at noon at Main Street SkyTrain station, you can give a call to the Bus Riders Union. Their phone number is 604-315-8766.